174. O patient, spotless one, our hearts in meekness train to bear thy yoke and learn of thee, that we may rest obtain. 174.
Jesus.
Epistle of John, 2 John and verse 12, having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you and speak face to face that our joy may be full. 3 John, verse 13, I had many things to write, but I will not with ink and pen write unto thee. But I trust I shall shortly see thee, and we shall speak face to face. A verse in Exodus 25, verse 21. And thou shalt put the mercy seat above upon the ark, and in the ark thou shalt put the testimony that I shall give thee. Verse 22. And there I will meet with thee, and I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubims, which are upon the ark of the testimony of all things which I will give thee in commandment unto the children of Israel. Exodus 33, verse 11. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. Another verse in Numbers chapter 12. Numbers chapter 12, verse 1. And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, had the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses, had he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam, come out ye three unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And they three came out. And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. And he said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, if the Lord will make thyself known, myself known unto him in a vision, and will speak unto him in a dream, my servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches, and the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And one last verse before I comment in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11. 1 Peter 4:11. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. What encouraged me to come up was Brother Dave's prayer and talking about the lips of the Lord, you know, that Moses had and his privilege of speaking face to face, mouth to mouth with the Lord. And he saw Moses, the Lord spoke with him as with a friend. And he saw a similitude of the Lord, the expression is face to face. But later on in chapter 33 of Exodus, God says, no man can see my face and live. So he was hid in the cleft of the rock and he could see the Lord from behind. He couldn't see his face. Now when we come to the New Testament, we see through a glass darkly, but then shortly we will see face to face. You know, Moses was a privileged man in the Old Testament. And we read in the Gospels the words of the Lord that said, of those that were born of woman, there was no greater than John the Baptist. But the lesser in the kingdom of God was greater than he. And I believe that refers to the position that God has brought us into, to the work of the Lord Jesus. We had that verse yesterday in Romans chapter 8, and those that are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. We have this privilege that we've been brought into through the Lord Jesus, that are a privilege that's greater than anything comparable in the Old Testament. Sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ, God is our Father. And so we had these verses from the Apostle John. He wrote three epistles, one gospel, and the book of Revelation. Yet the scriptures repeat to us in the second and third epistle, he had much more that he would have wanted to communicate. And he was going to say that, speak to that face to face. And it's encouraged me to consider the ministry of the Spirit of God. You know, there are extremes that we find in Christianity. I was talking with Brother Tim Ruga about something called, I think it's Sola Scriptura, and they're very attached to just the Scriptures and do away with the Spirit. And you have the other extreme that does away with the Scriptures and does all sorts of things supposedly in the power of the Spirit of God. And these are extremes that are not in conformity with what we have as a teaching in the Word of God. But there's this realm of liberty that belongs to us as sons of God, the liberty to enter into the holiest, any kind, in the presence of God himself. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, we talked about that yesterday with someone. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, the Apostle Paul says, Second Corinthians 12 and 2. I knew or I know a man in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God know it. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God know it. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Now, obviously, the Apostle Paul, a chosen vessel, a particular servant of the Lord, and has been mentioned. He's one of the greatest missionaries, not the greatest missionary, for the cause of the gospel and the glory of the Lord Jesus. But he was a man in Christ. It's because he was in Christ that he could be taken up into the third heaven. He didn't know if it was in body or just in spirit. But because he was in Christ, he had access. He had liberty to be introduced in the presence of God himself. And I believe, dear one, this afternoon, that every one of us here who are in Christ, we have the same liberty. When the Lord Jesus comes, he's going to change our bodies and he's going to introduce us into the Father's house in the presence of God himself. And the work of the Lord Jesus is so complete and sufficient that these mortal bodies that we live in, that give us so many struggles, in a twinkling of an eye, can be changed. No more effect, power of sin, no more presence of sin, be conformed to his glorious body. Like that. That's being in Christ. And when we are ushered into the presence of God himself, comfortable there. We have a divine nature. Christ is fitted for heaven, of course. And so are you and I. But we're on the earth, you know, and we have that verse in 1 Peter chapter 4. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracle of God. Now, in the Old Testament, they referred to the oracle, and that really was the holiest of holies. That's from where the communications of God came. And Moses, he would get it firsthand, you know, get it from the Lord himself and then share it with the people. What about you and I? Can we get it firsthand? Did Moses have greater privileges than you and I have? I don't believe so. We have greater privileges. Now, if I'm going to go to a meeting, if I'm going to go to take a gospel meeting, or somebody would ask me to take an address, or I could do one of two things, perhaps. Pray, of course, I'd pray. But I could go to my library. Very, a lot of good writings, good ministry. And I could fill my mind and my heart with things that I've read in my library. And then I could share that to much profit, I believe, to the saints of God. I believe that. Or I could get in the presence of God himself, freely, come into his presence, and get from him what he would have me speak about. What he would want to fill my heart with to share with another. And so I do believe, dear ones, that we have the greatest privilege ever offered to human beings on the face of the earth right now. To come boldly in the presence of God without fear. The holiest we enter in perfect peace with God. And it's all because of the Lord Jesus and the gift of the Father. And I believe if we avail ourselves of this privilege, I'm the first one to have to take this to heart, that we'll be able to speak, to communicate to others what comes from the heart of God himself. That's what the oracles of God is speaking for God. What would God want to tell us? Well, he would want to tell us about his son, doesn't he? He wants us to be established in what we have in Christ. That we would avail ourselves of the privileges that are ours and use them. We have access to God by faith. That's, the door is open. Do we come? A word for each one of us, young or old. Can God speak through a young brother? Why not? He's been in the presence of the Lord. He's as free to go in the presence of the Lord as the gray-haired ones. And get from the Lord something laid on his heart from God himself. And God, in his sovereign grace and greatness and mercy, can use human lips to communicate his heart. Is that true? I believe it's true. Is it happening? I trust it is. Could it happen more? I'm sure it could. So I've enjoyed this thought here in 2nd and 3rd John, that there was much more to be shared and enjoyed. And so God has, not that we want to add from to the scriptures, not my thought at all. But we need to have timely ministry. We need to have the thoughts of the Lord for us in the times that we're going through right now. Getting darker and darker. And if I went to my library and read ministry from the past century, very good ministry. I'm not criticizing that at all, not in any measure. But the times were different. And perhaps God has much for us now, for these prayers, through his word, Of course, by His Spirit. And we could be hearing, and I trust we are at times, and often, those things that come from the very heart of God. So the Apostle Paul, a man in Christ, was taken up into the third heaven. He heard things, and I'm not sure exactly how to interpret what he did hear. But you and I, we can go in the presence of the Lord in the third heaven, and we can hear things too. Enjoy things from the heart of our Father. Establish our soul, rest our souls in a finished work. You know, we're reading Romans chapter 8. We'd be surprised at the percentage of true believers that are ignorant of the truth in these first 8 chapters. Why is that? There's so much being said about the Scriptures. And why aren't the souls established in the basic truth? Well, perhaps because the Lord doesn't have ears to listen to what's coming out of His lips for the time that we're living in. So I just want to encourage you there once. I don't want to take much time. I think I've been long enough to share with you that privilege that we have right now. You know, it says in Numbers chapter 12 that Miriam and Aaron, they spoke against Moses, and they used their lips themselves. And that was their own thoughts, you know. And it's a little play on words, but Miriam got leprosy, you know. It was leprosy, but it's leprosy. And I would put you in, just watch that leprosy, you know. Because imagine the same lips that can communicate the oracles of God can criticize those through whom the Lord is speaking. I remember a dear brother in the Lord, he's with the Lord now, and the first time I heard him, I didn't like his voice. And the Lord kind of had to talk to me. He says, never mind the voice, listen to what he's saying. And when I listened to what he's saying, oh, that was the Lord speaking to me and to others too, you know. God could use your lips, my lips. He can do that. We can use our lips too. But let's not be like Miriam and Aaron and have leprosy pronounced upon us. That our lips would be filled with praise and adoration like we had this morning. To be in the presence of God Himself and the Lord Jesus. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, we're going to be there physically. As we were this morning spiritually. To see Him face to face. And to worship Him as He is worthy. We can do that now without having seen Him with our eyes. So just to encourage us, dear ones, to, if we want to speak in the oracles of God, we have to come in the presence of God and listen to what He has for us and for others. And then we'll be able to minister mouth to mouth to one another, but He'll be coming from the heart of God Himself.
Well, I trust you won't be distracted by my accent. Simon Peter was recognized by his, and I'm sad to say maybe I'm recognized by mine. But I'd like to turn to the verse we began our meetings with the other day, and that is Romans chapter 8. That verse really touched my heart as we were considering it. It's Romans chapter 8. I'm not going to be here to teach you English. It wouldn't be fair, would it? But in this chapter, in the New Translation, there's a full stop. Okay, we're going to read up to that. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. There's a full stop there. A full stop. What a wonderful statement the Apostle Paul by the Spirit was able to give us. Dear friend, there's no condemnation. We're in Christ. You know, we discussed this chapter, didn't we? Some of it. We haven't got to the end yet. But there's no condemnation. Why is it that so many of us, and I include myself here, we feel so unsure sometimes? I'm not sure. I don't feel saved. We discussed that point, didn't we? That it's usually that our hearts are divided. That we are allowing things in our lives which are not honouring to the Lord. I'd like to look back to the Old Testament to a couple of examples. The first one, of course, as well known to you, I'm sure, is in Daniel chapter 1. Daniel 1, I'll read a few verses there. Chapter 1, verse 5. And the king appointed to them, that's the captives from Israel, from Jerusalem, a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names. Verse 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine that he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Daniel purposed in his heart. Turn to Ezra chapter 7. Ezra 7, I'm going to read the first few verses. Now after these things, in the reign of Artaxerxes, king of Persia, Ezra, the son of Seraiah, the son of Azariah, the son of Hilkiah, the son of Shalom, the son of Zadok, the son of Hitob, the son of Amariah, the son of Azariah, the son of Mirioth, the son of Zerahiah, the son of Uzzi, the son of Bucky, the son of Abishai, the son of Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the chief priest. This Ezra went up from Babylon, and he was a ready scribe in the law of Moses, which the Lord God of Israel had given. And the king granted him all his requests according to the hand of the Lord his God upon him. And some of them went up from the children of Israel, of the priests, of the Levites, of the singers, of the porters, and of the Nethinims, unto Jerusalem in the seventh year of Artaxerxes the king. And he came to Jerusalem in the fifth month, which was in the seventh year of the king. And upon the first day of the first month began he to go up from Babylon. And on the first day of the month, on the fifth day of the fifth month, he was in Jerusalem, according to the good hand of his God upon him. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord, and to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. Just going to compare Daniel and Ezra for a minute. Daniel very obviously was a young man, maybe a young boy. It speaks of him early in that chapter as certain of the children of Israel, of the king's seed. I feel sure he was a child. 12 years old, 10 years old, 14 years old, I'm not sure. But I would encourage you at that age that you, like Daniel, you need to turn your heart to the Lord. You say, well, I belong to the Lord. Yes, but how much have you given him? How much have you given him of the Lord, your life? Here, Daniel, he knew it was wrong. He had a conscience about what he was asked to do. What does he do? Well, he purposes in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat. Sometimes when you have a bad conscience about something as a believer, younger or older, you know that it's going to offend somebody. You know that others are not going to be happy with you. But dear friend, who do you listen to? Who do you listen to? Is your heart toward the Lord? He has to have that first place, doesn't he? You know, going back to the first verse that I read, sometimes we are so unsure of our salvation simply because we have a divided heart. We have a heart that's listening to two masters, and that is a recipe for failure. Here, Daniel, he's a young man, a young boy, and he purposes in his heart. And if you read the chapter, you see how the Lord came in, and he didn't have to compromise himself, did he? He made this request, and it was proven that his diet that he was requesting was good for him and his friends. And go over to Ezra now. Ezra, in this chapter, we have a long genealogy of Ezra. And I do believe that Ezra was an older man. He had been walking with the Lord, and his characteristic was that he could speak of the hand of the Lord his God upon him. Now, if you purpose in your heart to follow the Lord, you too will feel the hand of the Lord upon you. And verse 10, he prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord. You might think, well, Daniel had a good upbringing. Daniel was descended directly from Aaron the priest. But it wasn't that. Ezra's heart was prepared to follow the law of the Lord. But it doesn't stop there. What was he doing? Learning the law of the Lord. He was doing it, as it says at the end of verse 10, to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. You know, it doesn't start when you're older. It all starts when you're younger. We have to listen to the word of God. So many of us, as children, as Paul spoke to Timothy, we've heard it from our very young years. What a precious privilege that is. We haven't all heard of God from a very young age, but it's a privilege when you have. May the Lord bless it to you younger ones, that you've heard the word of God when you're young, and it will stand you in good stead if the Lord tarries throughout your life. So I do believe that Ezra was an older person. He'd been in the word of God from his young years, and it was now that he was proving it to the blessing of others. But it says there that he prepared his heart to seek the Lord. Both of these men, Daniel and Ezra, it has to do with the heart. The Lord speaks in the word, doesn't he, of the thoughts and intents of the heart. He knows those. But you know, it's the heart speaks of what our intentions are. It speaks of what moves us, doesn't it? May the Lord move your heart and mine day by day. And maybe give him that full heart. I'm going to make a story, if you like, going back to Israel's history. You know, we've read so often and heard ministered the offerings, the sacrifices that were brought to the door of the tabernacle. Now, let's say there's a young man, we'll call him Joseph, that's my name. He comes to the door of the tabernacle, and he has his lamb for a sacrifice. And he offers it to the priest, whoever it was at that point. The priest takes it, and Joseph says, "Well, priest, when you've killed him, can I have half of it? I need half of it. You can have the other half for the Lord. Is that what I'm doing with my life? Is that what you're doing with your life? Half-hearted for the Lord? He wants the whole sacrifice." And that would be sad, wouldn't it, if we had an account like that in the Word of God. But he wants the whole sacrifice. He wants you all. He wants your heart, dear friend, totally. You know, so often we sung some lovely hymns two nights ago in the singing, and there's many more that we in that wonderful hymn book. And we often sing, don't we, so lustily. Hymns like, "Well, I am thine, O Lord, I've heard thy voice." You know, when we sing those hymns, we should question our hearts. And maybe we should sing them a little more quietly as a prayer, if they're not really true of our lives. Turn to Matthew's Gospel now, chapter 6, just for a verse. Matthew 6, verse 21. "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Again, it's the heart. And dear friend, younger or older, may the Lord have all your heart. It's like that boy that perhaps took his lamb to the priest and said, "Well, I want half back. I need half of it." You can have the other half for the priest, for the Lord. The Lord wants it all. He wants you all. He wants your whole life, your whole heart. And it will show, you know, in your heart and life, whether you've done that or not. As it says here in this verse, "Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Is your treasure with him? Do you find treasure in the presence of the Lord day by day as you read his word? May the Lord bless that to your heart and to mine. How we need that so that then we can sing those wonderful hymns from the heart. I am thine, O Lord. I am thine. May the Lord bless these few words to your heart and mine. Just one last verse before we finish. 1 Samuel chapter 16. First Samuel 16 and verse 7. You know, Samuel's a wonderful subject to study. His name, his very name means he was asked for. His mother went to the priest, she prayed to the Lord for that little boy, and the Lord gave him to her. And so often we see in Samuel's life that the Lord hears his prayers. Well, here we have Samuel speaking to Jesse and his family, I believe. At the end of verse 7, we have, for the Lord seeth not what man, as man seeth, for man looketh upon the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Don't forget that. May the Lord bless you as you realize so much that the Lord wants your whole heart, and he looks on our hearts, he sees our intentions, and he loves us.
Permit me to share a real burden that I've had on my heart for some time. Turn with me, please, to a verse in Mark's Gospel, chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, and we won't read the whole parable, but going back to the beginning of the chapter, we find in verse 18 it says, Mark 4 and 18, "And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word,